When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
And thank you for tuning in to part 2 of Jennifer Rothschild's interview. We hope you enjoyed the first part, and we're sure you'll love the second one. But first, here are a couple more of her wonderful songs. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm satisfied with you.
Can be. Oh, I'm satisfied with Jesus.
Before we begin part two, here is Timothy on how to contact us.
To contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you. And then the culmination of your faith shaping your blindness, to me, is the fruit of the service that you're engaged in. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Well, it's a beautiful thing because sometimes we don't know what we believe until we act upon it. We can say we believe something, but until we really put feet to it, then it becomes alive in us and quickened in us and awakened in us once again. And so as our faith informs our suffering, then we are going to be like Christ and want to lift the burdens of others and regard them in their suffering. And you know what else it does for us, I believe, when our faith is what shapes our issue in life? It gives us a sense of spiritual humility, intellectual humility, allows us to realize we don't know everything. We need each other. We need that person who might be suffering and complaining just as much as they need us. You know, I was at a Bible study, this was last year, and I teach Bible studies, but I also attend them. So I was attending one, and we were actually talking about joy. And so the teacher had just literally finished talking about joy. And she said at the end of her teaching, now I want everybody this week to look for joy bombs. And what she meant by that is, look for something that really brings you joy and shows how God is with you, you know. And so I went to say goodbye to a lady sitting next to me. I said, I'll see you next week. I hope you find lots of joy bombs. And she said, well, I doubt it because blah, 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 blah. And she turned into a total Eeyore. And I thought, we just heard this same teaching. But she didn't hear it at all. And so what I said to her is, you know, so-and-so, hey, you just heard about looking for the joy bomb. You're not going to see it if you don't look for it. And that, I think, is what you're talking about, Traveling Tim. When our faith informs our circumstances, then we see more than what's right in front of us. And we're able to reach out beyond our own suffering, see past our own sadness, and be able to be the good and be the light in other people's life. And what does it do? It brings back that goodness and light to us.
Yes. Well, one thing that I really liked is when you talked about your use of humor as far as lightening your load as far as the blindness. I do that too. I was wondering if you could tell us, you know, some stories maybe where humor played a role.
So you do have to laugh, but I will say this. When I take myself too seriously and it's all about me and I'm overly fragile, then I can't laugh at myself. And so training yourself to see the humor and to laugh is so much better for us spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So I remember several years ago, I put on my makeup myself. I do it by counting. And my mom taught me when I was 15 how to do it. And so I, of course, keep my cosmetics very carefully separated, and I know how to do it. Well, this one particular night, I was getting ready to go speak at an event in my community. And I knew that my hair was not looking good, even though I couldn't see it. I just knew it. It just, you know, sometimes ugly has a texture. So I had gotten these free samples. A friend of mine was selling makeup by Mary Kay. And so she had given me free samples of her lip liners and her eyeliners. And she had separated them for me. Well, I thought, I don't usually wear lip liner, but how hard can that be? You know, so I went ahead and I put on the new lip liner. And then I put on my new eyeliner. And I was feeling kind of cute at that point. So I leave my bathroom and I'm walking through my living room to get to the kitchen garage door where my husband Phil is coming to pick me up. Well, as I walked through the living room, one of our sons was playing a video game. And eventually he looked away from the TV screen and looked at his mama and he said, Mom, your lips are black. And I said, no, they aren't. My lips are not black, son. This is called raisin lip liner. It's just darker and more dramatic than you're used to. And so he says, okay, and goes right back to, you know, Super Mario or whatever he was playing. So I scurry through the kitchen door because I hear the garage door opening. I know Phil's about to come in. So I'm pulling the kitchen garage door toward me just as he was standing in the threshold. So right there, he and I meet face to face, and with more panic than I have ever heard in my husband's voice, he said, Jennifer Rothschild, your eyes are flaming red. Well, I realized what I did. I put lip liner on my eyes and eyeliner on my lips. Oh, my gosh. So I will tell you guys this. I know, Tim, this doesn't apply to you, but to Stephanie, to any woman listening who might wear cosmetics, if you're ever having a bad hair day and you just cannot get it to work, I have the solution. If you will put some lip liner on your eyes and some eyeliner on your lips, no one will notice your hair.
There you go.
There you go. There's your solution.
So what would you tell somebody who has some kind of special needs as far as getting them motivated? They know Christ, but getting them motivated to serve.
Well, I think sometimes we don't serve because we don't have confidence. And we think we have to have confidence before we can step out. And I believe it's courage that we need more than confidence, because anybody with any kind of special need, disability, however you want to call it, we can often, and I have felt this way many times, feel like a burden. Like, I got nothing to give. I have to have 12 people help me just to pull off one thing. How could I serve? How could I give when I'm the one who has seemingly such a greater need and everything seems so much more complicated? And listen, I think that's a legit feeling that we go through. I feel it most when I'm most tired. When I'm fatigued, I can start to feel like I'm a burden and it's just not worth it. Or if I just had more confidence, then I could step out and try again. And I will say, I've learned it on the mountain, I've learned it on the valley, it's true both places. You do not have confidence. You do not need to have confidence to serve others. You just need courage. And even though you feel like a burden sometimes, when you allow others to help you and to minister to you so that you can minister to others, you actually esteem the one who is helping you. That's part of the way you're serving and ministering, by being humble enough to allow others to help you. You know, there's this verse in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4. It's the voice of God, and he's speaking to his people, and he says, take courage and work, for I am with you. And the truth is, we can take courage because God is with us. But you know, I used to read that verse as take courage, like put it on your to-do list, like man up, pull up yourself by your bootstraps, just do it, even if you're afraid. But really, when I studied that verse, the actual original language that is translated into our words, take courage, it doesn't mean like it's a mandate. It means it's an invitation. Like, take the courage from God that you need. Receive from God the courage he's giving you to do the work, because he's with you. So if you feel like, I don't have the courage, it's okay. You don't have to. You just take it from God, because he's giving it to you, because he's with you, and he will empower you to be who he's called you to be, and he will empower you to do what he's called you to do.
Up until now, I haven't used the word disability. To me, it's a negative word, and I'm not ignoring that, but to me, we're all disabled by sin. And I was wondering if you could comment on that, Jennifer.
It's interesting, yeah. Because of the word D-I-S, it always connotes a negative, you know? And it's interesting. I've heard people call it handicapable, not handicapped.
Right.
But here's the thing. The reality is, we are all, as you so beautifully put it, disabled by sin. We are all broken. We all have need. We all need a Savior. We all need our empty places to be filled by the Holy Spirit and the goodness of God. So I guess one of the things that I've learned about blindness is that it doesn't make me need God more just because I have this overt physical challenge. It doesn't make me need him more. What it does, it exposes how greatly I have needed him all along. And that applies to every human soul. We all need God because we are all, as you beautifully put it, disabled by the brokenness of this world and by sin.
Yes. Well, I was wondering, how can we pray for you? What do you have need of, personal or ministry-wise? Or?
Well, thank you for that gracious offer. Personally, it's interesting that I have fought discouragement more lately than ever before. And discouragement can deplete us and distract us. And I am just asking God to keep me encouraged. As I, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I try to encourage others. But quite honestly, I just need the touch of the Lord and the assurance of my calling. And, you know, discouragement can lie to us. So that's probably it. And then just that as COVID, as things open up again, that the Lord would provide for ministry opportunities. We have a team of women that we have not been able to keep on board as we have before COVID. And I just would love for us to be able to meet those needs again.
Okay. And then lastly, I was wondering, as far as donating to your ministry, if any of the people that are listening would like to, can they go to your website to do that?
That's so kind. You know, they can. If we are not for profit, actually. So a donation, when we receive one, we always put it directly back into the ministry, and we use it for giving books to women in need or giving conference tickets to women who can't afford them. And that would be the way to do so. Yeah, just to contact us through the website.
What is your website there?
It is jenniferrothschild.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jennifer, for being with us. We really appreciate it. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, it was a lovely conversation. I appreciate so much your ministry, Chaplain Tim, and how you love the Lord and how you love people. And it's just a lovely conversation. So God bless you, brother. Thank you.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my amazing. amazing grace. Amazing grace sufficient for me.
Hope you've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.